Identifying the most effective treatment for psoriasis is challenging, as research trials use different measures when examining treatment efficacy. This often makes it difficult to compare results between various therapies. In this dialogue, Dr. Cindy Yagg-Howard and Dr. Alice Gottlieb discuss how we can better understand research gaps in psoriasis and what is being done to improve patient-centered outcome measures in research and clinical trials.
Hello, my name is Dr. Cindy Yagg-Howard, and I'm here today to talk with Alice Gottlieb. She is the dermatologist in chief and chair of dermatology at Tufts Medical Center. She's also the Harvey B. Ansell Professor of Dermatology at Tufts University School of Medicine. Alice and I are going to talk today about research gaps in psoriasis. Alice, welcome.
Thank you very much for inviting me. It's a privilege to be here. And I thought today I would talk about improving outcome measures in psoriasis in particular, but talk about a general effort to improve clinical outcomes assessments in all dermatologic diseases. But for now, we'll focus on psoriasis, and I'm going to introduce you to an organization, a nonprofit called IDEAM, which stands for the International Dermatology Outcome Measures Initiative.
Great. And Alice, can you tell us, what is the mission of IDEAM?
IDEAM's mission is to establish patient-centered measurements to enhance research and treatment for those with dermatologic disease. Perspectives of the patients, health economists, payers, physicians, and regulatory agencies have been included from the onset, and our goal is to establish validated and standardized outcome measures that satisfy the needs of all stakeholders and can be applied to clinical research and, in the future, most importantly, clinical practice.
Great. So when you say stakeholders, can you give us a little bit more information? Who are you talking about?
We need better psoriasis outcome measures, which are not only useful in the clinical research setting, which does satisfy the needs of physicians and regulators, but also in the clinical practice setting, because we also need to satisfy the needs of payers and patients. Because I feel in psoriasis, we have very good drugs to treat, especially moderate to severe psoriasis, but our patients aren't going to get them because I think access is the number one issue. And I think in part, this is because our current outcome measures may not be helpful in distinguishing which drugs are, for that matter, which doctors add value.
Great. Okay. Well, that makes sense. And so I guess IDEAM is working now on psoriasis. Are there other things that it's planning on, other diseases that IDEAM's planning on working on?
Yes. Our next disease that we want to work on is hidradenitis suppurativa.
Oh, great. Okay.
And I want to point out why it's so important to get these in clinical practice, and I think important for the AAD with its DataDerm initiative, is that payers are making decisions on physician and drug quality based upon claims databases in community practice. And these databases do not assess either patient severity or disease-specific outcomes, so it's not important to actually clear the disease. And in this setting, classification of doctors and drugs and the judgments made about them are really based purely on cost. So those of us who are taking care of the sickest patients get penalized under this system.
So that's why we need IDEAM.
Yeah, it's one reason we need IDEAM. I also think we need the IDEAM because we need to give the patients a voice. You may not know it, but a standard dermatology outcome measurement for all derm diseases, the derm DLQI, derm life quality index, was made without any patient input. But it's talking about them.
Interesting. So, and how does one pick outcomes?
What we're basing this on, I'm a rheumatologist, and the rheumatologists have led the way in this regard with an organization called OMERACT. And OMERACT is responsible for all of the clinical research outcome measures that we take for granted.
Can you clarify OMERACT?
What is OMERACT
stand for?
It initially stood for outcome measures in rheumatoid arthritis clinical trials. Because just like how we start with psoriasis, they started in rheumatoid arthritis. It really now has the acronym doesn't say it anymore, but what its new name is Outcome Measures in Rheumatology.
Outcome Measures in Rheumatology.
And what OMERACT does is it gathers the relevant stakeholders. Their focus has been more narrow. It's been, you know, basically pharma scientists, doctors, and they've recently added patients. But it gathers the relevant stakeholder groups. It's interactive, data-driven development with majority alignment, which means everybody in the room, you know, votes and the majority rules. You don't necessarily have to be a particular disease expert. You have to be there. And the products of all the health outcome domains that we take for granted in rheumatology have been developed through OMERACT, and it does an onion model. If you're on the inside of the onion, if you imagine an onion with three rings, and you're in the core group, that means that every clinical trial has to measure the item of interest. So whether it's joint swelling, or in our case, does it mean erythema? We haven't established it yet for psoriasis, but in many of the rheumatologic diseases, there is a core set of domains that have to be assessed with an outcome measure in every single clinical trial.
So you, by core set of domains, you mean symptoms or what?
Symptoms or signs. It's both. It can be both. Okay, so, And it might not even be limited to that. We don't know that when our analysis is done, that cost of treatment may be one of them. We don't have our core yet. That's exactly what we're working on. But clearly signs and symptoms, quality of life are going to be, I would guess, winners in that category.
And when do you anticipate the analysis will be done?
Well, we're in the process of doing it, but these analyses take multiple Delphi analyses and statistical analyses, and I think we're looking more at it has to be measured in a year or two rather than in months to get one.
When you say we, who are you speaking of?
Okay, so we is patients, regulators, doctors. I'm hoping to include more payers in this situation, and pharma, not marketers, but health economic scientists and clinicians. We are the we. And the Delphi analysis is sent out. We haven't done it to payers yet, but it's sent out to everybody, and everybody has an equal voice.
So are you meeting virtually or in person?
Okay, so we've had four meetings in our past 2 years. The Delphi analyses are done anonymously, which is important, and by using internet technology. That's virtual. Mm-hmm. But the meetings are in person. And I also want to point out before we go too much further that IDEAM is a 501c3 nonprofit.
That you started, correct?
Yes. And we have a board of directors, and we lost our patient member of the board of directors because she took a job elsewhere. But we're going to actually replace that, so there are patients actually on the board of directors. And how we are supported is that we have, just like OMERACT does, there are pharmaceutical memberships, and the pharmaceutical scientists get a vote because of that membership. And we also support it through some nonprofits. The National Psoriasis Foundation has been very helpful. Advancing Innovations in Dermatology has given us grants, and we've actually had a prominent Washington lawyer who wants to remain anonymous, who was actually the person who gave us the startup money and also did all the legal work for the 501c3 formation.
So how many people are we speaking of?
Who attends meetings in person is somewhere about 50 to 100, I mean, in that category.
Big.
In terms of people who are going to participate in the Delphi, we've had as many as 200, but we're actually looking to get bigger than that. So we had, in the first meeting in Boston in 2013, this was done with all these people there, and they generated a list of 193 items which would be candidates for being measured in this core set. Of course, we're not going to have 193. And then we sent a first Delphi analysis, and people had to vote and decide whether they were very important, not so important, or not important at all. Out of that first analysis, we had a meeting in Toronto in 2013, and we generated 21 element groups. We narrowed the list in preparation for the second Delphi analysis, which was done, and there were 200 invitees to do this. 102 people responded, which for an anonymous internet questionnaire is pretty good. 79 were healthcare providers, 12 patients, 8 pharmaceutical scientists, 1 research person, 1 payer, and 1 professional organization rep. And we met in Rome to discuss what happened, and it was pretty interesting that the top 3 that made it was 1, not surprisingly, the group wanted to know about morphology, which means what do the lesions look like and the extent of disease. That wasn't a surprise. 2 was top was that not only patients, that the group wanted to know what happens in specific areas of the body, such as intertriginous, scalp, nails, palm, soles. And you may know that in psoriasis trials, pivotal trials, those are rarely done. So we're not even satisfying that. And finally, they wanted and made this rheumatologist's heart happy, was that in a psoriasis trial, patients wanted to know what happens to psoriatic arthritis. And that never happens in a clinical trial.
So explain that. Patients want to know
not
what
only
happens.
Patients, the group. Remember, this was it's not just patients, although I know they do want to know that. It's of, you know, remember I told you about the breakdown of the those 102 respondents. Most of them were doctors, actually. But what they want to know that in a psoriasis trial in those patients who have psoriatic arthritis, well, how does this drug work on this, or this intervention work on the psoriatic arthritis? That's never done. Okay, so those were the top three. So what we're doing now with PASI and PGA is satisfying the needs. You know, you do get publications, you do get regulatory approval, but it doesn't really satisfy what people want.
Alice, can you explain to us what is a Delphi analysis?
I don't want to be too long-winded about it, but it's an iterative process which is done anonymously where people are asked to rank candidates for these domains. And these domains are initially grouped into broad categories like impact on health, death, things like that. And then they are asked to vote. For OMERACT, he is also our biostatistician. There's a formula that basically, it's too simple to say that you have to have at least 70% of people saying yes. It's more complicated than that. But there's a formula, and you rank the votes, and then the domains that are chosen win. Based on the statistical formula, you pick what's going to be a winner inside that core domain. So you start with a large number of items, but we want to get it down to a relatively small number of items. And that's how it's been done in rheumatology. And yes, one, it needs patience, and it needs many iterative processes like Delphi. But at the end of the day, it works.
Great.
There is convergence. And I wanted to tell you about our fourth meeting, which was really exciting. We had it in Washington, D.C., because we really wanted to get at least the U.S. regulators to come. And indeed, they did come. We had representatives from Medicare, CMS. We had Kendall Marcus, who is the new division head for dermatology at the FDA, come and talk. I have to admit, she was the star of the show. We had multiple governmental groups who are making decisions about what's quality and what's not. We had our James Taylor from the AAD came and talked, and as you know, he's a leader on the DataDerm initiative that is coming from the AAD. We had research innovators talking about their outcome needs for clinical trials. And so I wanted to tell you a little bit what Kendall Marcus said, because she is new and brings a new perspective to at least what regulators want. So Dr. Kendall Marcus talked about what she's interested in, psoriasis, and what to measure. She reaffirmed that physicians' global assessment and assessment of clear or almost clear is to be used with a 5-point scale preferred. And she also reaffirmed that the co-primary endpoint of PASI score improvement by 75% is reaffirmed. However, she did say that patient-reported outcomes will be part of the package insert. And she gave criteria that she was looking for, and this has never been in a psoriasis trial, until secukinumab, which just got approved for psoriasis. And she herself spoke about that. The company developed a 16-item patient-reported outcome measurement tool. And as a result of that, there is a statement that says of the 39% who participated in the diary for patient-reported outcome assessment, itching, pain, and scaling improved by week 12 in secukinumab dose compared with placebo. This sounds trivial to us because, of course, we ask our patients that first time it's in a package insert, which is a huge thing, which means, obviously, that it can be promoted. And now, that means the first time the patients have a real vote.
And that was company-driven.
Yes, it's company-driven, but it's also, I think the FDA is asking for it. I think organizations like the AAD, Idiom, are asking for it. It's multiple sources. I think that patients are asking it through their professional organizations. And so this was a huge win. But I think that she also mentioned interesting things she's interested in the future, which have not been on the table. She mentioned that she was interested in exploratory secondary outcome measures for functional impairment, for social functioning, for what happens upstairs, central nervous system, depression, anxiety, sleep disturbance, which we all know is a big deal. She wants to look at metabolic parameters to get at surrogates for myocardial infarction, things like changes in weight, changes in blood pressure, lipids, and glucose. And finally, what's, to me, I think really exciting is she's finally bringing up what many of us have felt for years. Is it time to get rid of the placebo and have an active comparator? Because if you have moderate to severe psoriasis patients and you ask them to stop anything that works for 3 to 4 months, to be given a drug which may or may not be a placebo is a lot to ask a patient. And I think at this point, with the market being more satisfied, is it reasonable? And she brought that up, and I thought that was great. And then the other thing that she talked about was maintenance periods, evaluation of more flexible dosing and schedule. Right now, our approvals are very inflexible, and we know that patients do need more flexibility, but it makes it very hard to get payment for these drugs when they go right only by the package insert and the FDA approval. But if you want something different, they don't give it to you.
Interesting.
Then finally, she also was interested in different trial populations. Treatment-resistant psoriasis, that's 95% of my practice is treatment-resistant psoriasis, and that's not really what the clinical trials are focusing on. She's also was interested specifically in special studies on palmar plantar psoriasis, which are just beginning to happen in phase 3, but are not part of pivotal trials, and also nail psoriasis. So I think I'm going to end this discussion with what I feel very strongly about is that regulatory approval and publications in high-profile journals is really just the beginning.
Okay, Alice, so can you sum this up for us then?
I feel strongly that regulatory approval and publications, even in high-profile journals, are really just the beginning. And the true finish line is when the patient gets to the right doctor and the right treatment, and their disease has minimal to no impact on their quality of life.
Great. Well, Alice, thank you so much for all the work you've done for so many psoriasis patients over the years. And thank you for establishing this 501c3 corporation. You've certainly done a service, and we all appreciate it. Thank you.
With ongoing efforts to advance the field through research and clinical trials, an initiative has been started to develop a standardized set of outcome measures to assess the effectiveness of treatments and patient care. Current clinical trials encompass a wide variety of dermatologic conditions, yet a consensus on specific outcome measures is lacking. In order to properly assess disease severity and treatment efficacy, groups have been established to identify core outcome measures which should be utilized in both clinical trials and clinical practice to compare treatments and providers. The International Dermatology Outcome Measures, or IDIOM, is a nonprofit organization working to develop a standardized list of patient-centered outcomes in the treatment of psoriasis. Dr. Gottlieb proposed the initiative to determine outcome measures that can be applied to both clinical trials and practice. In theory, by developing a standardized list of patient outcomes, physicians can improve the quality of patient care by providing treatments which have been clinically measured to address core outcomes specific to the disease condition. Many of the psoriasis measures in existence do not fully address patients' concerns and may not be practical in the clinical setting. For example, the Psoriasis Area and Severity Index, or PASI, is a lengthy and cumbersome calculation which is not efficiently used in clinical practice. Limitations and variations of the Physician Global Assessment Scale make it difficult to gain a consensus on treatment efficacy. A survey conducted by the National Psoriasis Foundation found a variety of therapies ranging from systemic to topical applications among respondents with no clear consensus. In addition, patients' quality of life is not given much consideration when evaluating therapies. To date, efforts in establishing a standardized set of measures have been accomplished in rheumatology through the Outcome Measures in Rheumatology Organization, or OMERACT. Based on OMERACT's onion model, IDIOM's goal is to establish a core list of essential outcomes which should be accounted for in all clinical trials. Similar to an onion, the center represents the essential outcomes, with the middle and outer rings representing undetermined factors or outcomes requiring further investigation. The list of outcomes is developed over a series of Delphi exercises in which a group of dermatologists, payers, regulators, industry partners, rheumatologists, and patients participate in surveys rating a long list of outcomes as, quote, very important, quote, may be important, or quote, not important. The highest scoring domains at the end of the Delphi process are then considered to be this core set of outcomes for which all clinical trials and clinical care should monitor when evaluating psoriasis progression. There are challenges, however, in developing a core set of patient-centered outcomes. The multi-stage process and series of Delphi exercises can take years to complete with no set deadline. Recruiting experts from different backgrounds may be challenging in addition to maintaining active participation and response rate among members. Additionally, in terms of logistics, researchers need to determine when to stop collecting data, the number of Delphi rounds adequate for the study, and what level dictates when a, quote, consensus has been reached. Patient quality of life may be improved if established outcome measures are in place for payers and regulators to compare the performance of treatments and physician care. Current research trials fail to address a core set of measurements which can be applied in the clinical setting. While maintaining active participation in the Delphi exercises may be difficult, IDEAM's mission to establish a core set of patient-centered outcomes can help improve patient care by standardizing treatment measures in the clinical setting. By including all willing stakeholders, including patients, physicians, payers, and pharmaceutical scientists, IDEAM has the potential to provide a core set of psoriasis measurements that should be used in future clinical practice and may also become a model of outcome measures for other dermatologic diseases. I hope you enjoyed this edition of Dialogues in Dermatology. Next month, we look forward to 3 new dialogues on immunobullous diseases, systemic therapies, and soft tissue augmentation. Remember to join us on Facebook for previews, educational info, and collegial fun. We recently posted some interesting dialogues from the early days of this program. This has been Terry Cronin with Dialogues in Dermatology. Stay passionate about dermatology and keep up all the great work you're doing on behalf of your patients. Have a nice Thanksgiving and another great month.